Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, lead us, direct us, guide us, Lord, into all truth. May your word be spoken this morning. Not my will, Lord, thine be done here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your overwhelming blessings, Lord, that you've poured out into our lives. Just the fact, Lord, that we can honor the blood of Jesus, that we can honor that blood, that holy, righteous, perfect blood that cleansed us from all sin, paid for everyone. But it did so much more than that. It set us right in front of you, Lord, so that we could come in boldly to your throne of grace and commune with you. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking about this is our second week on a subject matter titled Of Them That Believe, Of Them That Believe. And our sermon title is part two, Let Us Hold Fast. Part two, Let Us Hold Fast. And that comes from Hebrews 10:35. And I want to read that to you. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. You have need of, give me the Greek word, somebody, hupomeno. You have need of hupomeno. I just like saying that word. I like a Greek salad. I like a Greek word. I like hupomeno. What does hupomeno mean? Oh, let me find it for you. Hupomeno. It describes a resolute decision to remain in one spot, to keep a position, or to maintain territory that has been gained. Hupomeno portrays a person who is under some type of heavy load, but who refuses to stray from his position because he is committed to his task. Regardless of how heavy the load, how fierce the opposition, how intense the stress, or how much weight is thrown against him, this person is inwardly resolved that he is not going to move. He is committed to stay put, and he will never surrender for any reason. Hupomeno, hupomeno. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which is great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, if any man draw back, if any man in timidity of one stealthily retreats, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Right there is something that should just leap off the page at us. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, for without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. God wants to be pleased, and he is pleased by your faith. He is pleased when you stand under a heavy weight or an opposition or forces coming against you or some kind of satanic attack or some kind of illness strikes you or your family and you don't give in to that pressure, that overwhelming weight to throw up your hands and say, what's it all about? What's this all about? I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I got to run. You've seen people like that before. Pressure gets too great. And they're looking at the exit. They're looking for the exit. Where? How can I get out of this? I've seen that. We've seen that. Work dries up. But you know it's just a matter of time if you just hang in there. can't hang longer. I gotta run. I gotta leave. Guess what happens when you find yourself in another situation? Nothing's changed. Nothing changes. Why is that? Why is it that nothing changes? I left this situation to go to this situation. It's got to be better. It's got to be better. Why has it not changed? Well, the answer's not one we enjoy hearing, but it's very obvious because you're there. That's the common denominator. All the situations changed, the people have changed, everything's changed, but that you're there. I learned that as a teenager. I went to 4 different high schools in my life because we had to move here and there. Work took my dad here and here, and I'm a child. I'm with them. Wherever family goes, I'm there. What I learned is that wherever you go, people are pretty much the same. And my relationship to those people did not change. I was a shy young man as a teenager. In the first spot, the second spot, the third spot, the last spot. I didn't change, so therefore my interactions with everybody else didn't change. So I learned a lesson. It don't matter where I go, I'm going to be there. And wherever I am, the situation's going to be the same. Can't run from problems. You've got to face them. You've got to have some hupomino. You've got to have some strength to stand and just bear the weight and endure. Because what happens when you lift a heavy weight? If you lift it often enough, you get stronger and you get stronger and you get stronger. And the old devil could throw anything at you and you're not going to move. You're not going to bend. You're not going to bow. Your faith is strong in the Lord and the power of His might because He's brought you through that trial. He's going to bring you through this one. Praise God. Praise God. That is true. Folks, hupomino, you have need of patience. You have need of strength that doesn't move, strength that doesn't shift, strength that doesn't break down. Praise God. That's what the Lord's saying. Don't draw back. Don't wither under the weight. Every one of us, we could form a line, and every one of us could tell each other about the weights of life that you have borne under, that you have carried in your life. We've all experienced, that's a common denominator for every living, breathing soul in this fallen world, is that you face these things. It's not the facing of the things or the fact that you have to face something else. It's how do you bear up in the facing of it? You want to be strong in it and stronger coming out of it, because it's not going to last forever. Jesus, I'm reminded of Him when He ministered all day by the Sea of Galilee. And then that evening, He says, we're going to the other side. That's His word to those disciples. And they heard Him preach all day long. Their faith should have been through the roof. We're going to the other side. And He was tired. And He took a nap in the boat. In the boat. I don't know, any of you, do we have any sailors in here? I fished a time or two with my Uncle Rocky. He used to fish East Bay and Pensacola Bay and them old flat-bottom mullet boats with the motor right in the center. This is way back before the net ban. He had 500 yards of net. I went out fishing with him. He said, throw the jug. That was the day he changed my name from David to Jonah. I threw the jug because he saw a mullet, but it wasn't mullet. It was them old saltwater catfish. And they got all in the net. You can't just pull the net in and pick them out. So he said, let's just gather it in and go to shore. And you have to pick them out because they got that spine on their dorsal and their fins. You can't just... He told me to throw the jug. I don't know why he didn't change my name to Jonah. I guess he wanted to throw me out and blame me for his. But he did. He sold those old, sorry, saltwater catfish. They're not really good for eating. But he convinced the Holiday Inn that they wanted them. And he at least paid for his gas. Paid for his gas. So that's all he was concerned about. So if you've been in a boat, boats aren't the easiest thing in the world to sleep in. They're not that comfortable as far as just the accommodations. They're usually wet. They're usually kind of stale in smell or fishy in smell, especially if it's one that's caught some fish lately. Scales here and there, you know. But he was tired and he slept. And that storm came. And what did his disciples do? He said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, do you not care that we perish?" Oh, what disappointment do you think the Lord might have felt at that moment? I preached my heart out all day. You were with me all day. You saw all the miracles. You heard the word of God proclaimed and demonstrated before your very eyes. And here you are saying, "We're going to perish, but I done told you we're going to the other side." And he got up and he rebuked the storm, and it laid down right there in front of them. "Peace be still," and it did. Then he rebuked them. He rebuked them. "Oh, ye of little faith." That wasn't the most pleasing moment. I don't want to draw back. I don't want to be one of those that draws back, that withers under the weight that's pressing, that gives in, that retreats. No, 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 no. We're going to have hupomeno, strength to stand under the weight, whatever the weight is, the pressing. Because God's given us strength to stand. The days that are coming, the days we've seen have been pressing and heavy to experience. You've all got children and grandchildren and extended family. And I don't know everybody, every circumstance of everybody's life, but we're all related to people. And not everybody, not every one of those is sitting right here with us believing and saying amen to this word that's going out. Some of them are off doing their own thing, living their own life. They're being pressed by this world to think like the world, to talk like the world, to act like the world. The world is trying to pull our families very, very hard in a direction that is against God. It is against God. It is against His will. You've got to fight hard to get upstream now. Think about that. The current's flowing faster. The world's current is flowing faster and faster and faster. This whole woke society that we're experiencing, everything that's wrong is now made right by that. Everything that's good is evil. And everything that's evil is now good. You hear it every day. You experience it. You see it. It doesn't make it. What is your response to that? What is my response to that? Am I going to let that weight, that pressing, mold me and shape me the way I think? Or am I going to be that ambassador? Am I going to be that diplomat for the Lord Himself here in this earth? Not representing myself. I don't represent myself standing up here. You don't represent yourself as you go around this life. You represent the Lord. He's the one that's paid for you. He bought your citizenship into this new country that we belong, that we're citizens of. And it was on that cross that He did. And when you bowed your knee to Him, and when you received Him as your Savior and Lord and King, You were surrendered your will to His will, and you became a spokesman, spokeswoman, spokesperson for the Lord here in this earth. Praise God. That's powerful. We need to give thought and time to that. I am somebody in God's kingdom. He has entrusted me with something so precious and valuable. It's going to last forever, this that He's entrusted me with. Because the grass is going to fade, the flower thereof. But the word of our Lord, that which He's entrusted to you, lasts forever. It is the heartbeat of His kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Homologio. You like that Greek word? It means to say the same thing as another. To say the same thing as another. In Hebrews 4:14, it tells us that we have a great high priest. And this high priest is someone who knows the feeling of everything you feel. Every hurt, every victory, every pressing, every weight. He's felt it in this life. He has felt it. He knows the feelings of our infirmity. It's Jesus. In the scripture in verse 14, He says He's our high priest, and He is in the heavens now. He has passed into the heavens, and He is acting as your high priest right now. Let us hold fast to our profession, to our homologio, to our saying the same thing as He says. To say the same thing as He says. That's what we're to hold fast to. We are to hold fast to His word, to His will. Ambassadors representing a kingdom, representing a king. When you go in His name. You go in with His word. What does that mean? Well, let's bring it down to something very familiar to us. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But Dave, over in Isaiah, it tells me that my righteousness is filthy rags. That's right. That's right. Whose righteousness are you going in? Are you representing yourself? Are you your own ambassador? Is it your word and your will and your kingdom that you're representing here in this world? No. We are His ambassadors. We represent His will, His kingdom, His words. It's His clothing, His righteousness. You've been robed with His righteousness. It's His righteousness that you've been given. But Dave, I just can't get past this. My righteousness is filthy rags. All right, so here's the problem. Your mind has not been renewed yet to the fact that it's His righteousness that you have clothing you. We said it earlier. For if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Oh, this thing's changed. We've had a change take place. We've had a change take place. The old things are gone. The old things are behind. The old things are before the cross. all things. Since that cross, since you submitted your will to his will, at that cross, all things have become brand new, down to your very righteousness. We are given the task to get our minds aligned with this new understanding. All things have become new, but I still look the same. My hair's still gray. I still have my wrinkles. A little bit here, a little bit there. That didn't become new. Well, we're talking the hidden man of the heart. Brand new. Not some overhaul. It's brand new. This mind, your connection here with your surroundings. We've got to work on that. The way we think, what's driving us, our appetites. We talked about that. Ice cream at 8. Do that for 3 or 4 nights in a row. The next night, you know what 8 o'clock brings on? A desire for ice cream. Yeah, it does. That's how we can train ourselves. Get in the Word of God. Train yourselves to eat of and drink of the Word of God every day at a certain time. You know what's going to happen at that time of day? You're going to want to partake of it. I remember way back, I had an office in Tallahassee. I got in the habit of every day before I went in, or as I arrived, I turned the things on and I sat down with my Bible and I read. And I would read and I would read and I would read. And you know what built in me? A desire, a hunger to partake of God's goodness and of God's good word, of this good bread of life. It just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Praying. Listen, for years and years and years, God put it on my heart to pray. David, I want you praying. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, would be pretty much my response. But then, and I would pray. I never remember a time in my life I didn't pray. But that wasn't what he was talking about. He wanted me to pray. And it was after Carrie and I got married that I realized I need to pray with her every morning. Every morning. Because I was falling into a pattern. I get up, I get dressed, I go. I get up, I get dressed, I go. I get up, I get dressed, I sit with Carrie. And we talk and we pray. And it's 15 minutes. But it's a most precious 15 minutes of the day, because we get a chance to encourage one another, kid one another. I can't talk to her for more than 2 or 3 minutes without her kidding me or me kidding her about something. And it's like two kids just. Now, I think she instigated. I think she's the instigator. I do believe that. Could have something to the fact that she's an oldest child, or her daddy was a tough old cob or something. I don't know. Could be because I'm the youngest and she thinks she can pick on me. Even though I'm older, that she's going to, and I'm going to do that right back. And if she don't get it first, if she forgets and comes in all sweet and loving, I'll get the first word in with her. But no, we do that because we love each other. But we pray. We hold hands and we pray. We pray for our families. We have 6 children. They all have siblings, starting to have children themselves. They need prayer. This world is a challenge. I'm glad I'm my age. I'm glad I'm not just starting out again. But you know, God knows just when you're supposed to be here. He's got it all worked out. You were born for the hour that you're living. You've got everything you need for this hour, for this time, for this place. This church has everything it needs for this hour, for this moment. God's got a great plan for this church, for this body. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, He does. And this world is going to hear from you. It's hearing from you now. And we're going to keep it up, and we're going to turn the flame up. We're going to turn the fires up, the heat up on getting the word out, on getting the gospel out. There's a lot of different platforms that we are engaging in, and we're going to see to it that this world is going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from this body of believers. That's our call. That's our commission. That's our great commission. And we're going to see to it that it's done. And not pulling out part of it. We talked about that some time back. We're not going to pull out parts and pieces of that great commission. The whole commission is going forth. The whole of it is going forth. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, homologio means to say the same thing as another. If you remember last week, we talked about the Tower of Babel. And just to reiterate that story, it's so crucial. God opened my eyes here. Thinking the same thing, saying the same thing is key to unity. It's key to unity. It can be worked on an evil side, and you've all seen and heard about these mobs rushing stores to go in and loot and steal. There's a reason that it happened all at one time. 100 people runs into a store just to sack and ruin and loot a store. How is that? How is that even possible that they all have the same idea at the same time? Because they're all thinking the same thing and they're communicating. They're saying the same thing. And these phones make it very easy for them to coordinate the effort. So you can work that saying the same thing, thinking the same thing for evil. You can work it to reach the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saying the same thing, speaking the same thing. God doesn't want this church confused in the language that it speaks to one another. He does not want us confused with our speech when we speak to one another, that I need to understand you, you need to understand me. We need to be speaking the same thing, thinking the same thing. If we do that, then we can accomplish anything in the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord said concerning Babel. We've got to do something. We've got to confuse their language because they're thinking the same thing, they're saying the same thing, and there's nothing that's going to be withheld from them being able to do. So that same principle applies to our faith. Our faith, the whole basic principle of faith and confession is this: God's word transforms our thinking. We see that in Isaiah 55. We see that in Romans 12 too. God's word transforms the way we think. We need to get God's word in us in order to think like Him, even though hit so far above. That's God gave us His thoughts so we could climb the heights and speak and think like Him. He said His word's not going to return to Him void, but it will return to Him. How does it return to Him? But through you, but through me. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's the high priest of the words of your mouth. He's the high priest of the words of your heart. He's watching over your words that you speak forth. The word of God, His thoughts contained in those utterances, and He's acting as high priest over those words. And He's seeing to it that they come to pass, that the manifestation comes to pass in this realm at this time. God's word transforms our thinking. Our thinking transforms our believing. As a man, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our believing directs our speaking. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. I want to remind myself of this scripture too. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Second Corinthians 4:13 says this: "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Our believing directs our speaking. What's the results? When you get your thinking lined up with God, your believing lined up with God, your speaking lined up with God, what happens? The mountains move. The mountains move. The mountains move. Praise God. We need to apply this to our lives on a daily basis. Speak forth God's word. Come into alignment with the way he's thinking. And you know what? It's not just I don't know how to say it, this term kinetic energy. Energy that's dormant, that's just kind of like sitting there. No, God doesn't want it to be just kind of laying there. He wants it moving. He wants it active. So it's not just printed page and spoken word. You get this word in your heart enough, he preaches with to you from this word. This word starts coming alive. The word of God is living. It is active. It's like that, you put those chemicals together. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of activity. When you get this word in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, God starts activating that word in you. And remember, this word is spirit-breathed. It's not just, we're not talking ink on the page. We're talking the utterances of God himself, the inspiration, the God-breathed word coming alive in you, given, and you putting your breath to it in this world, you see some things changing. You see things changing. One of the great things that's going to change is you, is me. Man, I'm going to be able to withstand the pressures that come, those things that try to knock me off balance or knock me off my foundation. I'll be able to stand firm, stand strong, and not be swayed. Listen, life throws some hard things at us. Every one of us has experienced it. Every one of us has. 11 years ago, when we buried my wife, I made a resolve in my heart that I was not going to be bitter. I was not going to be bitter. I had a choice. Two options. And the Lord said it this way: Dave, you can be bitter or you can be better. I didn't want bitter. I've got too many people looking to me. My family, my blood. They need me. They need me to be strong, to be able to stand up against the pressures that try to crush, the pressures that try to form me into a bitter, hateful man, angry at God, shaking my finger. Why? Why? The Lord said this, Proverbs 3, trust in me with all your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Don't lean to your own understanding. But in everything, you look to me. You look to me. I'll see it come to pass in your life. I'll see it come to pass in your life. Praise God. We have the choice when the pressures are just crushing. We can stand strong. We don't have to give in. We don't have to bow or bend or break. We can stand strong in faith. Strong in faith. One of the strongest women of faith I ever knew was a little lady that stood back like this, my little Granny Smith. She was so strong in faith. She was praying under her breath as she's walking. You could just hear her talking. She's praying. She's praying. Just an old country, Hamilton County, Florida girl. Don't laugh at her. I did that one time. She laid hold of me and didn't let go. She was a strong woman of faith, and she taught my mother that. She taught my mother that. She taught us all that. How to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To lean on Him. Not try to figure life out. Every little detail of life, you're never going to figure out. But you know one who's got it figured out. And if you will trust Him and lean on Him, He'll direct your every single step. And the end will be better than the beginning. Praise God. Let's be good representatives of the Lord here in this life. Let's think like the King. And let's talk like the King. Time is short. It's compressed. It's wrapping up. Things are wrapping up soon. I want to be doing all I need to do in my life. And I know you want to do the same. But I also desire that we as a church body are doing all that we can as a church. Reaching the far ends of the universe. I mean, we've got this message going out on a platform that reaches the globe. Praise God for that. I'm thankful. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, as we think on you, Lord, we can't, Lord, help but just fall on our face in thanksgiving to the goodness that you poured into our lives, Lord. Lord, you brought us out of a dark place, every one of us. And you've brought us into your very kingdom, a kingdom of light, Lord. You've washed us. You've clothed us. You've given us a new name. You've given us a new language, Lord. And you've given us a place and a purpose in this world, and that is to represent you in our every coming and going in life. So, Lord, we do that. We take that on as your charge to us to be good ambassadors, good representatives, thinking the will of the King and communicating the will of the King in this earth. Now, Father, as we go out this week, Lord, it's Thanksgiving week, a time that this country sets aside to honor you and to thank you. I thank you, Lord, for our leaders way back when they chose to do that, Lord, to honor you. But Lord, we don't just keep it to one day. We are thankful every day. We are thankful people, and we give thanks daily. But Lord, we do thank you for our nation. That is setting this day aside to give thanks to you for the blessings and the abundance that you've poured out upon us. And Lord, as we have opportunity this week with family and friends, Lord, give us utterance, Lord, to speak forth your word, to speak forth your salvation, Lord, to speak forth your gospel and to bring life, Lord, to bring life to them that need to hear it. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Well, you're thankful, folks. You are thankful, folks. Let's not hold it back. My daddy used to fuss at me riding down the road. He said, "You're just like your mama. You don't talk." We need to talk. Well, I was just a 14, 15-year-old boy, and I loved to listen to the older folks talk. And I would say, "What have I got to add to this conversation? I have very limited experience, Dad." I couldn't even put those thoughts together into words. I can now, but I couldn't then. But I thought them. I said, "What have I got to say? I like listening." Let's not be listeners this week. Let's share the word of God. Share the gospel. Amen. Amen. Testimony. Come on.
Check. Real quick. Most of you know that I'm a staff sergeant at the Grady County Jail, and I do transports. Well, probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I wasn't transporting, but I was there at the jail, and one of the things I do is I go around to each cell and swap books with them. You done reading a book, and I'll swap them a book, and went in one of the dorms, and they said, I heard this voice say, "Hey, do you have a Quran?" And I said, "No, I don't have one. I'm sorry." And then, so as I was passing out books, and this voice said, "You need to get some different kind of books. Don't everybody believe like you believe, and they don't believe in that Jesus that you're talking about. They don't believe, man, that Adam and Eve stuff that y'all are trying to talk about, that we don't believe in all that." And you know, and anyhow, we got into it a little bit, and then finally, it was like the Holy Spirit was telling me, "Hey, he's going through a lot. So don't get in an argument. Just, man, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you." You know, went on that way. Well, this week I took that particular guy to court, and he got sentenced 5 years. And as we were leaving, going back to the jail, in the stairwell, he said, "Boy, I thank God I got 5 years. Thank you, Jesus, I got 5 years." And I said, you know, I wanted to get in there and rub it in, but I said, "What are you saying?" He said, "I could have got more. For my charges, I could have got more." So you never know who you're impacting, who you're touching. And a lot of them, the world is just like us. We go through things, and they're going through things, and when you're hurt, you say things that you really don't mean. This particular guy never had showed me disrespect before until that day. Huh. And both of us, since then, we've been around each other a little bit. We kept quiet, didn't say anything, but it was like that day and a couple other moments that, you know, we were still good with each other, but God prevailed.
Amen.
And one other real quick thing, I'm thank the Lord for 41 years with Miss Sally.
Miss Sally, congratulations.
And real another one quick announcement that I think we have another date in November, November 29th, was a Wednesday night, I believe that's right.
Yes. And who's speaking?
I'm going to be speaking.
Roy's speaking. November 29th.
So I've got 58 years of testimony to tell you in a short while, and 41 years of it of Sally in my life. But I hadn't come up with a title, and she's going to probably have to help me get pictures. I'm not into all of the pictures and title stuff.
You could tell us about the time she had to write a note.
I can tell you that story as well. There's a lot of good stories that I've got to tell you that you'll not want to miss. Okay, so be sure November 29th.
All right. We look forward to it, Roy. Amen. Yes.